Retards. There are two retards. There's an ignorant retard, like a brand new pleb, and that's what we usually think of as retarded. The creature that just expresses its retardedness without awareness of itself. And then there's this wise retard, like the Bitcoin OG whose IQ has plummeted after multiple cycles, rug pulls, and much travail. And this wise retard and this ignorant retard are the same retard. They are the same field. The time chain is in the shadow. The only difference is awareness. The wise retard has come full circle. It's why OGs and retail noobs can be hard to tell apart. It's why new plebs have low time preference sometimes, and why OGs often become high time preference again. What about the rest of us in the middle, I hear you say? Well, we're the journey. We are that passage. You don't have to wait two or three cycles to be wise. Wisdom isn't dependent on cycles. Wisdom is dependent on trusting yourself. Deep trust. How deeply can you believe in yourself? How far can you trust your instincts into the green meadows of clown world? Life is unraveling. It's already complete, even though it's still in the process of unraveling. So can you be both? Can you be both its beginning and its end? Can you be awake in the dream that is the middle? The ancients called life a lila, a play. It means both a theater and a drama, but it also suggests playfulness, and both are needed. I mean, you can't really shitpost in the middle. There's so much shitcoining, there's so many scams, there's so much spam. It's hard to be playful in the face of most of the shit that goes on in this world. So the playfulness, the retardedness, it has to be of an inner awareness rather than an outer always. That's where the dance is. So you can be reeing on the outside, but on the inside there's still this awareness of the play unfolding. It gives you a little distance. You know the ending, but you also don't know how it's going to get there. That's the mystery part. That's the beauty. That is the play. Of course we are watching this play, within the play, and we have this rising sense that it's going to turn into a tragedy, a rug pull. And who's watching us? Feds? You know that feeling when the lights go back on and you've been in the theater and you kind of rub your eyes and oh yes, I remember where I am. One day, the lights will come on. One day, the retardedness of everything will reawaken to itself. It happens to the individual, and the individual realizes that it's been in an illusion. And then one day, it will happen to the NPCs. And in the meantime, we are in the Maya. We are in the Leela, the divine play, the unfolding. And as your awareness begins to grow inside, you surrender your attachment to the outcome. You know the grand outcome anyway. You know Bitcoin has already won. So why worry about the dips and the turns and the drama? It's all the dips and turns of the price discovery as it spontaneously explores the cosmic meadows. This is why it's about consensus, because that's what we're here to transcend. The awareness, this is our consciousness. It's stateless. It's outside consensus. So when it remembers that, it giggles. And then falls into silence. What the hell am I going to say? Maybe I better be quiet. Maybe I better just comply. Let the Tao unfold. Let the network go on exploring itself. And so you come to deep retardedness, deep surrender. And the game is over, but the play still goes on. What a mystery. What a wonder. To be retarded. That's the thing. To be retarded. Everything ends the same way. It ends without ending. The mind says, no, there has to be an ending. Everything needs to have an ending at some point. But the heart says, no, how can there be an ending? There's no such thing as an ending. You see, the eternal is not an area we're very familiar with, because the eternal must lie beyond the lower mind. It's the domain of the higher mind, the retard mind. Ultimately, it's the domain of pure, essential being. So this is the harmony of the spheres. Even spam, even JPEGs are part of the harmony. It's part of the retardedness. Everything is part of the retardedness. Everything is part of everything. So, let's just enjoy Bitcoin podcasts.
Welcome to this edition of the Beagle Weekly. This is your co-host, Richard Greaser. Joining me today, as usual, is Rod Palmer. Are you embracing being a retard? Are you embracing the mind of being a retard? Getting into that state of retard bliss, retard zen? Are you being the individual that disappoints Shinobi, the individual that you are?
I am. I truly believe that when you lower your time preference enough, that it's similar to the mid-curve meme, where you are on the same like vibe or the same wavelength as the savant. And I think once you get into that retard mindset, it's a very... I was just listening actually to the Hell Money podcast, the new one, and it was talking about how, in a different word, but like the retard can just trust their gut, they're very in sync with the kind of thing that astrology or some of these mystic religions, where it's like this just base layer of living kind of gets you on the right path. And I think following that and knowing that and being able to know the truth from your experiences is the way of the retard. And I think that's the way to live life.
Totally. I mean, the retard is sure of themselves. They're confident in their opinion, even if it's retarded. And that's a good portion of life and success in life is having confidence, even if you're wrong. Like, look at Jerry Calbrown. That guy's like, he's like the equivalent of Hunter Biden. Like, you get him on an interview, he's completely retarded. You know, he's not that smart, but you've got Neil Jacobs sharing his content on Instagram talking about how smart he is, and he's talking about buying Bitcoin. Complete retard, getting invited to speak at the Bitcoin conference, getting invited to the 100K party. His brother, Brant, even more retarded than he is, or maybe slightly less retarded than he is, but he's got like 10x the following on Twitter, and you know, used car salesmen are learning how to scam people with their used cars from Brant. And these retards are so successful. I mean, there's other retards like that. You look like Pomp's retarded. I think people starting to realize that Jack Mallers is retarded.
I mean, who's more retarded than Peter McCormick? He was the number one Bitcoin. I mean, it took, when did he start that? 2017. I mean, it took 8 years almost before Peter McCormick finally understood, you know, how Lightning works, how to run your own node. And people explained it to him 2 or 3 times a week for 1 to 2 hours at a time. And he still didn't get it. And so when you look at Peter McCormick, and you think, God, if that retard can figure out Bitcoin, so can I. I can do it, even if it takes me half a decade. And it's inspiring. And I think that a lot of, especially autistic retards, they love routine, they love repetition. And what is the key to success? It's practice, it's repetition. It's just trying over and over, failing over and over and over again, and still getting up and being able to try again. And I mean, when I look at my Twitter timeline, especially the past week, it's just full of retards who are just so confident in a choice that they made in a split second based off of a couple of anonymous accounts who also agreed with them. And no matter how much information is presented to them to persuade them that they might not, you know, they might be missing some nuance that would help them have a better holistic understanding of a problem that, you know, some developers want to solve for, and some developers believe there is, you know, that is the wrong solution. But they've made their minds up and they're just going to double down, dig their heels in, and that is a surefire way for them to succeed. Whoever is the most stubbornly retarded will succeed.
I've seen a ton of uncredentialed opinions on Twitter this week from all sides. It's not just one side of the argument. It's all the sides. A lot of uncredentialed opinions, a lot of people's strong opinions. People are upset that, for example, that the GitHub, the Bitcoin GitHub, isn't a place to shitpost like on Twitter. And the memers are not understanding the difference between memeing and Bitcoin development. And then you've got people running around with their pitchforks because they're like,
yeah,
fuck you, Jameson and Gloria. We want a shitpost on GitHub. We right, don't need
And I, there is something, listen, at the end of the day, I think that the core devs should unmock comments on pull requests on GitHub to the broader community. However, the memers and the, you know, Noster people and the Knots runners, they need to understand that while this is a free speech community, they're going to get, if you've never commented on GitHub before, if you've never contributed to Bitcoin Core before, you shouldn't be prevented from starting. But your first post should not be to call Satoshi a retard. That is disrespectful. That is not even really contribution. If you want to ack or knack or leave a technical feedback, that's fine. But don't make your first post calling Satoshi retarded because he wants to remove the limits on the op return in the config file for the settings for your node. That's just not that is not productive.
Well, I think it's productive to call Satoshi retarded, but you just don't do it on GitHub. You have to go on Twitter.
Right. Exactly. Or a podcast or something. Not GitHub. GitHub is, listen, if you spam GitHub with memes about Satoshi being retarded, it is going to bottleneck the Bitcoin development process, the Bitcoin maintenance process. You don't want to spam GitHub. Spam is for Noster and for Twitter.
Definitely. Well, I know a lot of us are concerned about Satoshi right now. He's actively trying to promote the raping of our nodes. And, you know, for many of us, we're concerned. We don't want our wives and our daughters' nodes to be raped. I don't want my coworkers' nodes to be raped. I care a lot about Maggie and Kaylee. I know Kaylee's very upset at the prospect of her node getting raped. And we cannot allow Satoshi to be raping their nodes.
Yeah. This is why it's so important for you to run the node for your family. For wives to use their husband's notes or their father's notes, or at their widows, you know, their father-in-law's notes or their, you know, brother-in-law's notes, because if Bitcoin is an open network and it is an adversarial network, and you know, right now it is high risk of somebody like Satoshi raping their wife's note if she runs her own node, and you know he's just showing general, unpredictable, hostile behavior. I mean, he put us today about how, you know, Satoshi's a big supporter of Israel. Satoshi's a big Zionist. And he was talking about how we should nuke Iran. And he was talking a few, you know, a while ago, I should nuke Gaza on behalf of Israel. And in that mindset, if he sees a vulnerable node, he's probably going to rape it.
Yeah. Well, as a, you know, the man in the family, being a man, it's your job to be the protector. And, you know, if your wife gets raped, if Reno gets raped, it's your fault in many ways. It's your job to prevent behavior for that. And so you need to act as a shield. And that's why you, Uncle Jim, your family, and you manage their nodes for them. It's your job to listen to 40 HPW. It's your job to know what updates to roll and what updates not to. It's your job to always be considering running alternate clients to core, even though it's generally a bad idea. But you can be retarded if you want to, but if you're retarded, you still have to protect your family. It's not an excuse not to, to leave your wife exposed to getting raped by Satoshi.
Yeah, and listen, I am a successful journalist, a successful Bitcoin podcaster. I have access to promo codes for state-of-the-art Bitcoin node servers like Start9. So, you know, you can put a JPEG, you can put JPEGs in my mempool. I'm a cypherpunk, I'm a man that can handle it. But if you try to rape my friend's nodes, you try to rape my friend's wife's or daughter's node, you try to rape the node of some, you know, marginalized person in Gaza or in the global south who is running, you know, much less expensive state-of-the-art node technology, we're going to have a problem. And I'm going to stand up for the marginalized node runners. Because, you know, somebody has to.
Yeah, it's and here's the thing to understand. Like, if it's consensual, it's not rape, right? And there's many people that want to be have their mempools violated by Satoshi and violated by Udi. There's some people that like that. Like, you look at a guy like Charlie Spears. Like, he's all for it. He's like, come violate my mempool. I'm game for it. You look at
some people have special chairs in their podcast studio to sit and watch as Satoshi violates their node.
Yeah, but the reality is many our wives and our daughters, they're not consenting to it.
Right, and they don't even know how to tell if they've been violated, if their node has been violated. And people like Satoshi and Udi. And, you know, these others, these people who do shitcoins on Bitcoin, they are JPEGing our wives and daughters. And our wives and daughters, they don't even have the vocabulary to tell us. They don't have the understanding of the thermodynamics to be able to look at these transactions and look at the mempool.space or look at their own mempool on their node and see that they've been JPEGed by Satoshi. Satoshi's taking advantage of these people. Satoshi is JPEGing retards and women. And that's just not, that's almost worse than supporting Israel.
It means no.
It's, you know, and listen, some people are critical of Mechanic and Luke. And it's like, they're comparing it to like making your wife wear a hijab, making their wife wear a burqa. It's like they're putting these severe restrictions and like covering and filtering their wives and daughters' nodes. And it's, you know, some people's daughters, they want to expose their node to people like Udi. They want to expose their node to people like Satoshi. I don't want my daughter to do something like that, but like at a certain point, she's her own person and she wants to expose herself to these perverts, these node abusers, these mempool pissers. Should that be their choice? I don't know how Mechanic and Luke feel about it. I'm sure Luke doesn't give his wife the choice, but if Mechanic wasn't an orange cell, he might be able to have a wife too, but I don't know.
Totally. Well.
Well, this is what is this about, right? This comes down to at least their excuse or their explanation, the Knots side, is they want to protect the node runners. They want to protect node runners. They want to protect people's mempools, especially their daughters, but they care about other people too. And what they're kind of not understanding is the people who are protecting node runners the most are, you got Coinbase, you got Lightspark, who is a big infrastructure, platform for Lightning Network, which is reducing impact on on-chain activity, reducing block space demand, reducing mempool size. You've got BlackRock and all the other ETF providers. So, some of that goes back to Coinbase for Fidelity. So there, and then you've got Michael Saylor. Those handful of entities are disproportionate. I mean, 99% of the protection and relief that node runners are getting right now with the lack of block space demand is coming from these entities. And it's like, everybody talks so much shit on the timeline about these specific BlackRock, Michael Saylor, MicroStrategy, and Coinbase. They're doing more for node runners than anybody else.
I also want to add to the list, we can't forget Chain Analysis being one of the biggest protectors of the network with all the nodes that they're running.
Yeah, exactly.
This is Kaylee Welch. I come to you today with solemn news. Bitcoin is being attacked by spammers and scammers. They are trying to rape our nodes, piss in our mempools, and turn our stateless monetary system into a joke. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and that is why I am forming an elite task force which I am calling the Time Chain Police. These individuals will be the elite of the elite. We will hunt down and find these spammers and filter them so they will never have the opportunity to try and rape our nodes ever again. In times like these, we cannot play nice. There is no time for nuanced discussion. Instead, we must respond rapidly in order to fend off the forces of evil. Mistakes will be made. Lives will be taken. There is a cost of war. We cannot allow this one to drag on like the block size wars. We must crush our enemy swiftly and decisively without mercy. If we don't, our nodes will be raped, our mempools will be clogged, our bright orange future will be spammed away by nihilists who just want to make a quick buck. If you think you have what it takes and you have heard the call, follow me today to restore order to the time chain. We will destroy our enemies and protect those running their nodes on weak hardware.
Join the Time Chain Police today. Let's fuck up these little bitches trying to rape our nodes.
But this is a good topic to roll into. So there's a question that I've been asking myself, I think many of us have been asking ourselves, is, was there an attempt to scale Bitcoin too quickly? Many of the miners are feeling a lot of pain right now. The BitAxers are kind of asking themselves why they're decentralizing the network. Mining profitability continues to fall through the floor. There's no transaction fees. Bitcoin has essentially been scaled and it, as a result of all this paper Bitcoin. So you got Michael Saylor, you've got the ETFs. There's all this emphasis and discussion on protocols like Arc and Lightning and, whatever else. But I don't really know if we need them, because it seems like what needs to happen right now is there needs to be fees of some sort.
Right. Well, that's a thing where I guess it depends on your perspective, because the miners are, you have my feelings about miners. They're Neanderthals. They don't understand business. They don't know what they're doing half the time. And the hash rate is so high, right? The difficulty is so high right now. And these miners seeing this, the fees right now, they keep piling money into expanding capacity for mining, or they've been doing it for the past 3 years. It's just not profitable. And they are hoarding ASIC chips that could be used to build BitAxes and decentralize the network. So they are hoarding ASIC chips to centralize the network and make, you know, lose money in the process when they could be, these ASIC chips could be going to BitX miners to decentralize the network at a much more economic distribution of loss.
Well, I think one of the things that many of the miners make the mistake of is focusing too much on the economics of it and forgetting the moral case for it.
Not Ocean. I mean, Ocean doesn't think about the business case at all. They think only about the moral side, which that is perhaps a virtuous thing, but a lot of these other miners, they're in debt and they don't have the ability to just lose money for an ideology. If you're going to be a Bitcoin miner, you should come into it thinking, I'm going to lose money on this, but I'm doing it because I care about decentralization. I care about this defeat, separating money from state. And the public miners, these big giant centralized entities, they're just greedy.
Yeah, like you should be getting into mining because you care about, you want the status of being a pleb miner. You want to wear the ungovernable misfits hoodie around to like Lake Satoshi or the other events happening in the scene. You want to show up to your meetup and everybody look at you and go, wow, this man's a miner.
You want to be able to get on Bitcoin podcast by telling people that you use the heat from your S9 to try, you know, your marijuana leaves or your coffee beans. You know, you want to have some kind of cool thing that you're doing with your miner with the heat because you can't afford electricity because, you know, if mining is making you go broke.
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys, like, that are like this, they're a little bit insecure in their identities of who they are. They want some sort of bragging rights, and they want to prove, they feel like they have something to prove, like as if being a podcast listener isn't a high enough status symbol, so they have to add pleb miner onto their list of things that they are, you know what I mean? And I don't know if that's the case. I mean, I think people should be proud to be Bitcoin podcast listeners.
Right. That's one of the most noble positions to have. And to get back to the original topic of scaling Bitcoin too early, we just discussed right now about how maybe the miners not getting paid or, you know, the fees to support mining at this, you know, hash rate. Maybe it's not a problem that there's low block space demand right now. Maybe that isn't a problem. Maybe that's actually a good thing. But most people seem to be in a rough consensus on the fact that there needs to be more fees to pay miners. We need more mining. We need more Bitcoin mining. We need a higher hash rate. And we need, it's a security budget problem. But if you take that approach, the problem right now in Bitcoin is the lack of demand for block space and the, you know, small blocks, empty blocks, incredibly low fees, just low demand in general. And if that's a problem, one side, their solution is to be more, fix the filters. They want to censor more transactions. They want to prevent people from using Bitcoin, the open protocol, the way that they want to. Maybe they want to anchor data. Maybe they want to use it as a database. Maybe they want to use it as a replacement for Dropbox, something like that. Maybe they just want to post horoscopes on there. But the other side, their solution is there's no demand for block space. There's dwindling demand for block space. So we want to make additional trade-offs to the security of the protocol to accommodate more users, even though they're putting the cart before the horse. There's no demand for block space, but they are trying to add more supply to it. This is Shinobi's pet project, and Shinobi rejected Austrian economics last year and has been reading communist economics to impress a girl. And this is a result of that. He has totally lost a connection to economic incentives and the free market and just the invisible hand of the market and how it guides it. And he's trying to, he's crusading to add more supply as demand is decreasing, as demand is already plentiful. So it's, you have the two major sides of Bitcoin right now and in their philosophy of how we should be developing it. And they're, both of their solutions are definitely butting heads, but they're also both hurting Bitcoin, or, you know, potentially hurting Bitcoin if you agree that demand for block space should be high, or, you know, and you don't believe that paper Bitcoin is protecting node runners.
Well, I think one of the ways that we can fix this problem is we just need to convince all these people that are mining uneconomically to also send Bitcoin transactions uneconomically, like just to arbitrarily bump the fee up, and think of it as like a tip. Like you're tipping the network, you're tipping the miners, you're helping them feel better. You know, if you get enough people to do this, you get the stack chainers out there. Maybe this is something like the KYC exchanges could add as a feature on their withdrawals. Instead of subsidizing the withdrawals, they could have like a tip function. Like when you go into a restaurant, and it doesn't matter what restaurant it is, doesn't matter if they actually do anything or not, on all the old times you swipe your debit card or pay them in USDT, they ask for a tip. And generally, like a lot of people don't give tips, but why can't the KYC exchanges, when you're withdrawing, just give the user an option to leave the miners a tip? And that way, you know, with people being altruistic and using Bitcoin in a very uneconomic and selfless manner, you can fix the security issues around it.
Ocean is not making money anyway, and they have, you know, deep pocketed investors like Jack Dorsey. Why don't you put your money where your mouth is, instead of shit posting memes on GitHub? Just overpay and tip the miners when you use Bitcoin, because this will prevent what could potentially boil down to the Bitcoin miners becoming like a cartel, a mafia, where, you know, MicroStrategy has invested a lot of money in their brand, their image. And like Michael Saylor loves going on the news. He loves having yacht parties. If you were to just say, you know, every time MicroStrategy bought Bitcoin and wanted to move it, you just say, hey, we're charging you 10x the normal fee rate. What are they going to say? No, they got billions of dollars in Bitcoin. BlackRock has billions of dollars in Bitcoin. They've got to send to Coinbase. They've got to deposit into their custodial exchanges. Why not just say, hey, if you want this to be included in a transaction, you've got to pay us more because you're more, you know, you can afford it. What's to stop them from doing that? I mean, Bitcoin miners are already, you know, pretty centralized. I'm sure if just, you know, a couple of pools decided they were going to shake down Michael Saylor, Larry Fink, in those, you know, El Salvador, they could just charge them more for transactions, especially if the countries that they're charging, or these people they're charging, are taxing them to mine in their country. It'd just be a tit for tat.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, I think we do need to have a discussion on getting these wealthy individuals that are using Bitcoin to pay their fair share.
Exactly. That's where I was going with this. It's like you're benefiting, like all the plebs out here are, we're DCing from Swan and Strike and River. And, you know, we're keeping the lanes open. We're like the backbone of this network every day. And you guys are just like batching up these giant transactions, and, you know, it's, you're moving them cheaply. You're exploiting BitAx miners. Like, this is what they say about Amazon. Amazon is exploiting labor. They're exploiting workers. and taking the value of their labor and making themselves rich. It's like Larry Fink, BlackRock, Michael Saylor, and MicroStrategy, they're exploiting the labor of Bitaxe miners and home miners and just every miner, really, to increase their shareholders and increase their paper Bitcoin value.
I think the exploitative nature of this relationship between the suits and the plebs is very problematic. It's something that needs to be challenged and discussed, and you know, hopefully we'll see this on stage at the conference discussed. I have yet to see this issue really be talked about in the mainstream, because the problem is the plebs, they don't have sponsorship money. They're not out there. They're not sponsoring the conference. They're not buying the whale passes. They're not bringing the same economic value that that the suits are. And it doesn't mean they shouldn't have a voice, in my opinion.
One of the things I really worry about is once Tether starts to really proliferate on the Lightning Network, they're going to, Tapper Assets will have to anchor these UTXOs to basically facilitate the stable coins on the Lightning Network. And once they start bringing in the Global South onto Bitcoin to use Tether, I just feel like the community is going to scapegoat marginalized Global South users and be bickering over this anchoring of data on the blockchain, when the real problem is the exploitative nature of Wall Street, of suit coiners, of these rich, powerful corporations who are exploiting and pillaging the network and the security budget. And the scapegoat's going to be made out to be marginalized users from the Global South trying to use Tether.
Yeah, we're not going to stand from the Global South's transactions getting evicted from the mempool and extradited and deported. Yeah, we're not going to let them their transactions get deported from the mempool and for them to get sent down to El Salvador to use custodial Lightning using the Bitcoin Beach wallet.
Right.
Blink.
Right. Exactly.
Is that what we're going to stand for as a community? Really?
I mean, the people of deporting immigrants in the United States right now are Solana shitcoiners. They're using fucking ICE tokens. When that comes to Bitcoin, I mean, that's just going to make ICE more efficient. Sending Global South users who are just trying to secure, make secure payments, trying to use Tether on Lightning and deporting them from transaction, not letting them into your mempool. Are we going to have a segregated society where you don't let people from the Global South, we don't let them into our mempool? It's, a bytes only mempool. Is that really what we want to live in? Do we want to bring that racism and that intolerance and bigotry from our past? Do we want to put that on chain? I don't.
I'm personally not a fan of it. I think it's a problem. And I'm glad that we're discussing it, because this is the first step, you know, to fixing a lot of these problems is discussing them. And hopefully these conversations will carry into the Twitter spaces, into, you know, the other realms where these important issues are discussed. And there'll be some.
I just want to say that there's a lot of people, like you said, a lot of uncredentialed opinions been flying around lately. If you don't listen to 40 hours per week, I don't want to hear your opinion on this. I want you to listen 40 hours per week, and I want you to think about what your position's going to be before you spout it off. People who don't listen to 40 hours, like, I'm not trying to censor them. I'm just saying I'm not listening to them.
No, you're just trying to filter them.
I want to filter my timeline and filter the opinions I hear, so that it's only people who listen to 40 hours that's getting through. That's the only signal that I'm hearing anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious when somebody isn't listening to their 40 hours a week. You can kind of tell just from the lack of insight they'll have, the low signal. Like, Lynn Alden did this to Kanza. You remember that?
Exactly. The ratio of signal to noise in your posts. And, you know, before we wrap this topic up, I also want to repeat something that you said on Spaces last week, which is core devs are allowed to have sex. The Bitcoin core devs are not clergy. They're not priests. They're just cypherpunks, and cypherpunks can have sex. So any gossip, any drama that is coming from a position of jealousy, or you just don't like who's having sex with who, it's like, you have to stop. Core devs are allowed to have sex.
Yeah, this is kind of one of those strange opinions that seems to be coming from the orange cells, and it's almost like because they're not having sex, they think that the Bitcoin developers shouldn't either. And it's like, it's almost like a status symbol to them. Involuntary celibacy is a result of being so thoroughly orange-pilled should be extended to the people maintaining the Bitcoin code. And I think that's just, it's a fair or unfair expectation to have. It's not like the Bitcoin core devs took a vow to not have sex. It wasn't a voluntary thing. They never agreed to it, and nor do I think it should even be expected. And I think if you're upset about your inability to have sex, then that's more of a personal problem than it is like a ethical issue for the core devs. So I would just encourage you to just check your incentives, your own incentives, check your own stances here, and really, really just think a little bit more carefully about it. And if you're upset about not having sex, like, maybe you should go listen to True Heather's podcast and get some tips from her on how not to be an orange cell.
Especially if you're in Canada. Canadians, they cannot be orange cells. Like, they have to orange pill their fellow Canadians. They have to meet women. They have to bring women into Bitcoin. They have to have kids that they can orange pill. They just need more orange pill people in Canada. And you can listen to our last episode of Behind the Podcast if you want to get more background on that. But yeah, orange cells need to be listening to True Heather's podcast 40 hours per week.
Totally. I did enjoy that episode of Behind the Podcast, and it seems like the consensus of it is that Brad Mills has the potential to be Canada's Dennis Porter. Now, since that podcast aired, there was a very interesting discussion that Boomer kind of initiated on Twitter, which was that maybe Canada doesn't necessarily need Brad Mills to be Dennis Porter. Maybe Canada just needs to become the 51st state, and that way Canada can have the benefits of Dennis Porter without needing somebody like Brad Mills to fill that role. What do you think?
Yeah. It's Brad Mills he's got that Dennis Porter that Dennis Porter. I don't know. It's the Canadian version of that charm. And he's got a really cool beard. He's an OG. I mean,
He likes Tether.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's one of the things that can really be a stepping stone or a transition period would be bringing Tether USDT to Canada. The Canadian dollar they got to be tetherized. And I think get them tetherized, you can get them on the Bitcoin standard more effectively. But it's hard. It's like one of the things that we talked about in the last episode. They're really focused on Donald Trump and American politics. and they've got to focus more on their own politics, because it's, they're neglecting their own backyard. And it's like, yeah, Trump won here, but that did not help them. They thought it would, but it didn't.
Yeah, in the words of the famous Canadian philosopher Jordan Peterson, you should first make your bed before you ask somebody else to make theirs.
Well put, yeah.
As an example of Canada not making their own bed first.
I think there's also a problem with, I didn't realize how many Canadian citizens are feds. I didn't realize how many of them work for the government. When I found that out, it makes a little more sense. It's hard to get people to vote against what they believe is their best in, you know, their own self-interest. They don't want to get laid off. They do, especially when your house, you know, a 1,000 square foot house costs $1 million Canadian dollars. But, you know, if they bought Bitcoin, I mean, Bitcoin's been over 100K in Canada for months now.
Well, I think one of the problems is, like, we're seeing many of the Canadian Bitcoiners are feds too. And I think one of the problems is they understand the value of Bitcoin, so they don't want to lose their fiat income because they're worried that they're not going to be able to amass as much Bitcoin savings without their jobs. So I think that's one of the problems as well.
But even though the trucker protest is what they need. The truckers are listening to 40 hours per week. We're still pushing hard to orange pill the truckers. So they will get another uprising in Canada when more truckers start listening to podcasts.
Well, anyways, so for everybody that is, you know, wound up about the opportune stuff, I think it's important to remember that Bitcoin is a democracy, and this is being made very, very clear by PodConf, by the way that the conference is being ran. There's many politicians speaking there, which, you know, if your vote impacts the conference speaker list, you know, then your vote should impact Bitcoin development policy. And, you know, run your node, get out to vote, run your own node, go download Umbral on your Raspberry Pi, and you'll become an active voter in the ecosystem. Like, the, you know, downloading the entire blockchain is kind of like getting your voter registration.
Exactly. And then with Umbral, you just click, you want to run knots instead of core. And then you set that Umbral up node up in your basement or your attic, and you run it, and boom, it just runs. And now you are voting in the digital democracy, the most thermodynamically sound democracy that we've ever developed as people.
You're voting against Peter Todd raping unsuspecting women out there.
Their nodes, yeah.
Raping their nodes, yep. Well, we announced that we're doing our thing in Vegas. So we're doing a show in Vegas. It would be great if you're going to come out, support us. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be
live event.
First live event, Satirize the System. It's on Wednesday, May 28th, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific. It's on Fremont Street. If you've never been to Vegas or you've never been to Fremont Street, Fremont Street is like the pleb citadel, the ungovernable misfit citadel. It's wild out there. And the drinks are cheap. The women are aplenty. And we're going to be like, yeah, I said, live announcing a celebrity deathmatch midget wrestling. So we're going to be, you know, non-standard sized wrestlers. There's going to be, you know, a fundraiser for Samurai, I believe. There's going to be some more speakers to be announced, some big speakers. We're going to have some panels. We might roast some people. We might do all kinds of stuff. It's going to be crazy. There's going to be like arcade games and things like that. So a lot of you guys like non-KYC video games, this will be a great opportunity to play those. They have a VIP balcony for smoking cigarettes that lets you have like a beautiful view of some of the Fremont Street area. So, I mean, This is going to be a great time. So if you're going to Vegas, or if you were planning to go to Vegas, you can come to Vegas. I think you'll be surprised to find out how cheap the flights and hotels are around Memorial Day at the end of May. And you don't even have to pay $700 to go to the conference. You can just come hang out with us on Fremont Street. Maybe we'll get a podcast. Who knows?
Yeah, we've got a lot of plans. We're going to be going to the spamming Vegas event on Tuesday. And then our events on Wednesday. Very, very excited about that. I plan on signing cigarettes. So bring a pack of Marlboro Reds. I'll sign it for you. We'll be smoking out on the balcony, having a good time, hanging out with the non-standard size people. And yeah, I'm excited for the event. It's probably going to be the best thing happening in Vegas. And then after that, I think we're going to go to the Noster event, which is going to be a good time as well. I'm also excited for that. And I've been talking with the folks at, that are running that about doing that event. But yeah, we're planning on recording some podcasts and getting into a bunch of, you know, on the ground. I know Maggie wants to run around and interview people on the ground, and I think that's a great idea, kind of get their takes on what's going on at the conference. We'll have some merch for sale. So we don't accept paper Bitcoin. We want to support the fee market. So come ready to spend Bitcoin. We're not going to take your MicroStrategy shares. I don't care. We're not going to take your 21 shares. That shit's gay. We support real Bitcoin usage. So we're not going to accept Liquid. Liquid's also gay.
Yeah, and for more information on and for more chat about Satirize the System, we're going to be on a podcast tomorrow. I think that is going to be it's going to be Rob Hamilton and the guys at Bitcoin John in Philadelphia. So that'll be cool.
What's the guy that runs Zeus? What's his name? Evan Kaloupis?
Kaloudis.
Kaloudis.
That's right. The guy from Zeus Wallet. So that's,
Kaloupis?
Kaloudis with a D.
Are you sure?
I think it's the cousin of the guy that runs, the Diddy's account, Love is Bitcoin. They're both Greek. They're either cousins or neighbors.
Interesting. So do you think there's any relation to Yellow? He's also Greek. Is this the Greek mafia he's always talking about?
I think
so. The Kaloupis brothers?
Yeah, the Kaloupis brothers. That's right. That's what he talked about.
Well, yeah, Evan Kaloupis. He's going to be on the podcast with us. We'll be having a good time. I'll be able to ask him why my Lightning transactions continue to fail the route, and what his thoughts on scaling using paper Bitcoin are. That's going to be a fun conversation on Monday, I guess tomorrow. But yeah, today is May the 4th as we're recording this. So hopefully by the time you're listening to this, you've already watched some Star Wars. That's an important thing to do. It's much more than a marketing scheme by Disney to get you to watch their kind of dead brand that they killed. It is a time of tradition. It's a time of remembering Hollywood at its best. When the Jews were really on the top of their game, Steven Spielberg making some pretty solid movies back in the day and inspiring younger generations to believe that believe in space. Believe that space is real.
Inspired a lot of younger generations to join the CIA. Go to Langley, you know.
Totally.
Well, should you move on to the boost?
Well, let's do the boost.
The last week's episode, Trekking Down the Rabbit Hole, Bugle Weekly, episode 57, we met Randy Winston Hall and Sats for the first time. Randy's going to be checking in with us again in the future. Let us know some tales from the road. talk about non-KYC hand jobs. Might want to learn about non-KYC hand jobs before we go to Vegas, that's for sure. For some of you, especially orange cells. But the first boost from the episode last week is from Blizza. 1,010 sats. Boost before even listening. Now that's a true fan right there. They boost, they know the signal's coming so hard they don't even have to listen before they boost.
Yeah, thank you, Blizza. Second boost from Jason C. Great tip, Dick. My neighbor happens to be a trucker, so I just stopped by so I could buy his wife some lasagna. She was very appreciative. He was suspicious. Feels good. Yeah, hopefully you're not hitting on his wife. Hopefully that's not how they're taking it. I mean, that's not what I was advocating for, is to go hit on the trucker's wife. You want to support the trucker's wife, not hit on her. You know what I mean?
You want to give your wife lasagna, not your neighbor's wife lasagna.
Well, no, I talked about this. I talked about last week. I said, go bring your neighbor's wife lasagna, support them.
That's right. That's right.
You know, while her husband's out there trucking, she's there taking care of the kids on her own. She might get tired doing that. You know what I mean? It is exhausting, raising your kids by yourself. You know, it takes a village sometimes, and, you know, going on offering some lasagna, like maybe the proper way to do it is go send your wife over with the lasagna instead of you doing it, because then it might be perceived as you hitting on her.
Right.
But
she's like, she's like, oh, great. Here comes Jason. He's going to want to talk about a Fish concert you went to in 1994. And we'll be here for 20 minutes. And I don't know. I should just make the lasagna myself at this point. But if your wife goes over, you know, it's a lot, she's not going to try to orange pill her. He's not going to try to talk about fish. She's going to give her lasagna, and it's going to make her day.
Yeah, but like, I guess you got to think through these things like pretty thoroughly in the messaging, because like, you can't let your wife drive the Subaru over there, because then they might think your wife's hitting on her, and
that's true.
Think she's a lesbian. So you need her to bring the minivan over, maybe bring the kids next with her. You know, as we know, lesbians can't have kids. At least not,
not for like scissoring.
Women don't have sperm, far as we know. Neither of us are biologists. We're credentialed journalists, though. Well, awesome job, Jason. You should probably do it again, but figure out a way to not make them uncomfortable.
Next one is from Dan the Cow, 500 sats. Truck driver is the perfect profession, since they can easily dip their 40 hours per weekend. That's right. Thank you, Dan. Looks like he really is a cow. I hope Dan the Cow is not going to be victim of Texas Slim anytime soon.
It'd be unfortunate.
Oh man, the last one here is from Pies. So I retweeted Pies on Nostra last week. Pies announced on Noster, it was probably the third or fourth time this year, that he was retiring from 40 hours per week. It's just taking up too much of his time. And he's trying to go out and touch some grass. It's probably summer. But he jumps in today and says, I'm a fucking junkie. I just can't stay away. And he also commented on, well, I'm a last behind the podcast, which we'll read later. But he basically said, you know, he's coming out of retirement for this. So, Pies, if you really want to retire, man, I wish the best. I hope you can do it, but it just doesn't seem like you really want to retire. You just keep coming back for more signal.
He's like the Rocky Balboa of the Bitcoin podcast. I mean, how many times did Rocky retire in the movies?
Right. It's almost like Bellator. Bellator is a place for retired, you know, 50-year-old MMA fighters. The Fountain is the place for retired Bitcoin podcast listeners.
There was the guy that should have retired and ended up dying fighting Kimbo Slice. What was his name?
Dada 5000 or something.
Did he die?
His heart stopped.
His heart
stopped in the ring. Yeah, he was not in good cardio. He's pretty fat. He was not tallow fat either.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that you prevent that from happening, you know, you get late into your Bitcoin podcast listening career, just you got to take your supplements more seriously. You got to take your creatine on a regular basis. And we can help you out with that. We're selling creatine via Alpha Protocol. Is that on Orange Label? Or where is
it? Yeah, it sure is. We got creatine. We've got multiple supplements on there. So if you are, you know, these supplements are for like shadowy supercoders, but also MMA fighters. If a supplement is strong enough for Bitcoin or Dev or a Rust Dev, it's good enough for an MMA fighter. So multivitamins, creatine, there's multiple supplements on there. Check them out. They are real. They are, made in a credentialed supplement lab. So real shit.
Well, I think that's it. We got anything else to talk about this week?
I don't think so. I think we'll be staying up to date on the Core Dev trauma. We'll be staying up to date on the rape of our wives and daughters' nodes and preventing that. And we'll stay up to date on, we'll keep you up to date on everything we're doing in Vegas for the conference. If you are coming and you want to hang out, get some signed cigarettes, get some 40 hours per week stickers, get some Tinny Tether t-shirts, all the above.
Yeah, hit us up. We'll discuss, we'll let you know what we're up to. Probably the best way to keep up with me is on Telegram, but you can message me on Twitter too, or I guess I could look at my Noster DMs, but the UX isn't the best on there. But yeah, let us know what you got going on, and we'd love to hang out, meet you, and smoke a cigarette together. I'm looking forward to smoking cigarettes with all my buddies out there. There's nothing like smoking a cigarette with a listener of your podcast. It's quite a special experience, and not very many Bitcoin podcasters really do that with their listener base, but that's something I'm willing and committed to doing. So hit me up.
Hold on a second. Okay, it's done. I just inscribed a monkey JPEG to the blockchain. Now some dumb retail guy is going to buy it, thinking they are going to get rich. I love pump and dumping on stupid retail while raping people's nodes with spam. This shit is the best. Thank God that Udi taught me how to piss in the mempool.
Okay, now you're in trouble, bitch. Did I just watch you send a non-standard transaction?
Who do you think you are? Bitcoin is an open protocol and people can do whatever they want.
My name is Kaylee Welch, and I am the Time Chain Police. No one gets away with raping my node, bitch. You have been filthy.
Bitcoin from destruction. The time chain is my religion. I will protect it with precision. Policing Udi from peeing in the mempool. Filtering transactions sent by shitcoin of fools. The world needs to have sound money. Spam should not be allowed. Time chain police. Time chain police. Become the savior.